Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. My answers are posted every week on Mondays, and you can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask me, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I got a letter from a staff sergeant in the Army, in the infantry. I have a number of times talked about the treatment of soldiers, the method of conducting war today, the raising of, quote, collateral damage, in other words, civilians above the soldiers on our side who are fighting, the exact opposite of World War II, which was to destroy the enemy. In case you think that this is an extreme false statement, I'd like to quote from this letter. I was serving in Afghanistan back in 2010. A comment was made by our task force commander regarding the rules of engagement and escalation of force. He insisted that we practice what we called, quote, courageous restraint, unquote, when faced with threatening situations while on patrol. In particular, he wanted us to not shoot at vehicles that we suspected of being what they call VBIEDs, in other words, bombs or explosives that would kill them. He wanted us not to shoot at these vehicles. It was apparent to all of us that our lives meant nothing at all in the conflict, and that his concerns were more on his own record of keeping civilian casualties low when he said, quote, men, sometimes you just got to hunker down and take the VBID, unquote, showing his preference that he'd rather us not defend ourselves when faced with possibly killing civilians. This is the relationship many of our commanders have with their soldiers today, period. It is not possible to comment on this depravity on the part of the high command of the military, which itself comes from the White House, calmly. What is going to be the future of this country if men who are asked and who volunteer to save it are told it's more important not to hurt them, even if that causes you to get hurt, to die? I leave you to answer that question. Could you define your reasons for choosing Kira as your daughter's name? Yes, Kira, the character, was strong, intelligent, passionate, and feminine, a great combination of attributes. I wanted an Ayn Rand name, but Dagny and Dominique seemed a bit exotic for an American schoolgirl in California at the time. And I definitely believe you should never make a child's name a cross he has to bear. You know, call a kid Tom Tom. It started as a joke at home, and pretty soon the kids are going to be beating drums, stuttering around him, etc. There's a lot of very cruel kids in the younger years, and you should not give the kid anything to be vulnerable about. And I thought Kira was good. It was what I wanted, and it did not subject her to the pack. How quickly do you adapt to changing technology? Do you own a smartphone? Do you update your operating system? Do you upgrade your computer, etc.? My simple answer to all that is I am computer illiterate. I don't own that kind of phone. In fact, when I go to get a phone, I have a problem. Because I tell a guy, I want a phone that does only two things. You can call out and somebody can call back in. I don't want one that takes pictures, the internet, fries eggs, whatever. Just a phone like Alexander Graham Bell had. And I'm always told, well, that's much more expensive because nobody wants those phones except old people. I said, that's okay, I'll pay it. Now, the reason I'm not putting down all the modern changes of phone and all the rest of it, it's simply too much work for me, for my mind, to learn to cope with all of this. As a child, if you have computers or whatever, you pick up easily, almost automatically, all the things you know required to make you adept at it. Just consider learning a language, which you pick up from just hearing the sounds around you without any effort at all, as against learning a language when you're 40 is an infinitely greater amount of work. And the same is true of computers. They are a tremendous amount of work to learn. And when I see sometimes the inner mechanisms and possibilities, to me, it is like complex physics. I don't have the motive, and I don't want to do the work. Probably it would be very convenient if I went through all that. And it would open up a lot of doors if I went through all that. But right now I have enough doors, and my need basically right now in regard to the computer, I like email, I like the internet, I like games, and I'm just starting to get into iTunes with the excited discovery that you can play music. So that tells you where I own a smartphone. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying I was born too late. Should a racist comment made in the heat of battle on a sports pitch be treated any differently than that of any other derogative comment, any other verbal execrations or swearing that is directed against an individual player? Well, certainly not legally. There should be no such thing as a crime for derogative racial comments, a special crime. There should be no such thing as hate crimes, no such thing as crimes against the emotions of sensitive minorities. There should be free speech, which includes offensive speech. And all hate crimes accomplish is to give the prosecutors the grounds to read the minds, allegedly, of someone they dislike and accuse them of a crime on purely emotional intuition, extrasensory perception of the individual's feeling. If an individual uses a racial epithet, does that mean he hates the race? I don't know. I don't think you can prove it from that. He might be variable. It might come because that's the neighborhood he lives in. A lot of these racial epithets are used by the people in question themselves about themselves. For instance, the N-word, where it's okay for one to use it to another, but never for a white to use it. So legally, I say this is completely out of the realm of the law. As far as privately it goes, that, of course, depends on the remark and on the context. If the person is giving a Nazi tirade against the Jews, for instance, or the Ku Klux Klan, a guy is burning a black in effigy or something, then you have a different situation. But if a person who is normal, reasonably, utters a single racist word or phrase, or even paragraph, let us say which implies an collective evaluation, but it is not aware of it, doesn't focus on it, he's emotionally carried away, in my opinion, that should not cost him his career or national humiliation. And the only reason that it does so is fear of liberals by employers. They're terrified of having a bad press, and of course, the press is controlled. Press, TV, The government is controlled by liberals, and therefore nobody wants to cross them. And here they have the veil, the disguise of you're attacking the oppressed. Of course, again, I say the employer has the political right to fire whoever he wants. But today we have a reign of terror against the non-minorities, against the white majority, if they utter a single word. Whereas they can be called anything and everything. Ayn Rand can be called a fascist. That is not a hate statement. That is not offending a minority. Everybody that's against Obama today is a racist. A racist is an all-purpose denunciation. Anybody you want to get rid of. I would say the liberals have three real goals to accomplish through this racist elevation. One is it helps them get elected by catering to minorities and presenting themselves as the champions. So they get 30 or 40% right off the bat. The second is it justifies the continual expansion of government in order to, quote, rectify the injustices and achieve, quote, fairness to among the groups. But most important, I think, is nihilists. It's their nihilism. Liberals want to destroy America. And you have to face that. Not necessarily everyone, but the movement in its essence. It has now been essentially or very largely taken over by nihilism. It is not socialist anymore. They do not want everybody to be equally rich, but they want there to be nobody. And if you doubt that, I suggest you read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis, because that will give you my exact evaluation of what's going on today. And this use of racism to terrify everyone is one example of the nihilism that is destroying our culture. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peikoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.